Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Joey, it's great to have the chance to visit with one of the best play-by-play men in any sport, and that is the voice of the St. Louis Blues, John Kelly. And John, I can have a little bit of an understanding of what it's like to call games off a monitor, and you're doing that. You'll do that tonight as the Blues continue to work out of the bubble up in Canada, and they'll take on the Golden Knights of Vegas. And always good to hear your voice. Great to hear you back on the air, and always nice to visit with you. How you doing, JK?
I'm doing great, Dan. I feel great, and thanks for having me on, and I look forward to tonight's game. Just like every other game, it's sort of a bonus considering what we've gone through, and hockey's done a great job of getting the sport, you know, back on track and doing things the right way, and hopefully it will continue, and you know, hopefully the Blues can get into the win column tonight.
Well, that's the thing that I hear from everybody that knows it. I know you. They ask, number one, how does JK feel? It's been many months since it was revealed that you did contract the virus. How are you feeling these days?
Oh, I feel great. I mean, it was about a two-week span, Dan, in mid-March where I had the virus and pneumonia. And, but, you know, after those 2 weeks, I've been feeling great and, you know, doing exercises and walking and stuff like that. So I feel really good. I'm very blessed that I got the right care and I got better, because obviously, you know, some people have not and did not, and it's a tough disease, but I feel great. Thank you.
Yeah. I want to ask you too, you know, so many people come up to me, and now with what's happened with the Cardinals, they say, well, why didn't, you know, baseball do the bubble? Well, there's a myriad of reasons. I could do 2 hours on why baseball didn't do a bubble, and the NBA and the NHL, they've done the bubble, and it looks like it's working. Give me your general impressions on what you've seen, how the NHL has handled what's going on with their postseason and just the seeding and the bubble and how it's all come together.
Well, as far as the bubble, I think that the biggest thing, Dan, is they were flexible, because quite honestly, about a week before they announced the two hub cities, Edmonton and Toronto, Vegas was a virtual cinch to be one of the cities, but unfortunately there were too many COVID-19 cases in Vegas, so they had to, you know, do an audible at the last second, and Edmonton and Toronto ended up being the city. So, you know, they were very smart. They had about 10 different cities that were in the mix. And, you know, quite honestly, going to Canada, they've had, relatively speaking, very few COVID cases. It was the right move. And they've been thorough, Dan. They you know, they gave these players and executives, you know, 20, 30 page documents to look over with all the protocols, and they've been diligent, and the players have done a great job. So I think they've done a wonderful job of keeping the players safe, and knock on wood, hopefully they will. I mean, they had 7,000 tests done in the last couple of weeks and no positive cases. That's amazing. And the other thing, as far as, you know, the format, Dan, you know, letting 24 teams in, and now you have the qualifying round, you were not going to make any decision and come up with any kind of scenario that would please everybody. But I think it was a fair way to do it. And the best of five series, I've been watching most of them. They're fantastic. So I think all in all, they've done a really good job in this return to play.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of the hockey too, because I'm starved like everybody else for sports. I've been watching the NBA. I'm obviously watching baseball. I love hockey, as you well know, John, and we worked together for a number of years. So I have a vested interest in being a Blues fan and a hockey fan. I think the hockey's been great. What have you thought of the overall play?
I think it's been good. And, you know, you have to understand, Dan, in a normal season, a team would have a 21-day training camp and 7 or 8 preseason games. So now you had a 2-week training camp and 1 exhibition game. And now you're jumping in. And, you know, from the Blues' perspective, I think they still have a little ways to go. Their last game was better. But, you know, they have to buy in and you know, obviously have everybody involved. And it's a challenge because, you know, we're playing hockey in August. Normally these guys are still, you know, on vacation or in Europe or whatever. So I think that overall the hockey's been good. I think one thing is, You know, there have been a lot of penalty calls, Dan, like we have seen in early portions of the season in the past. So I think, you know, teams have to adjust. And, you know, it cost the Blues a game the other night when they took that late penalty by Steen, and then Kadri scored with a tenth of a second to go. So I think the pace has been good. The intensity in most of the games has been really good. But if I'm a coach, I'm telling my players to keep your sticks down and don't take lazy penalties, because that could decide a series right now, or it could decide seeding into the first round for the Blues.
I noticed in the Blues game, and again, I'm just the average fan anymore, John, but I just felt that they're a little bit off, just a step off, a little slow. Is that the general feeling that you got as you watched them?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Dan, when they play their game, they forecheck, they hit, and they possess the puck in the offensive zone for long periods of time. And when they don't, there are a lot of what we call one and done.
Sure.
And I think that, especially in the exhibition game against Chicago, they didn't have much ozone time. I thought in the last two periods the other night against Colorado, they started to get to the game. So, you know, that's a key. If you're going to watch the game tonight on Fox Sports Midwest, and hopefully you do, that, you know, to see how long the Blues have those extended zone times and those long shifts. When they do that, they're really tough to beat and tough to play against. So I think that's the key, is, again, getting to their game and pinning the team in their own zone and hopefully scoring more goals.
What have you thought of the return of Tarasenko after missing so much time?
Well, I think it's sort of expected, Dan, that he's a little bit tentative. And I think that perhaps he needs to have a big hit on that shoulder to sort of, you know, in his brain and in his mind to say, I'm okay. I mean, because he was due to come back in late March, and now we are 4.5 months later. So the shoulder should be strong, stronger than ever. But I think that he probably needs to get involved a little bit more and find his game. But, you know, give him a break. He hasn't played, except for these two games, Dan, you know, in 9 months, he hasn't played hockey. So that's a long time for anybody. You know, he was hurt in late October. So I think it's a work in progress. But, again, I think that the more he gets involved and more physically gets involved, I think it's better off for him and the Blues.
I thought, and John Kelly is my guest, he'll have the call tonight, the television voice of the Blues. Jordan Bennington, I thought, was sensational the other night. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, he's been great in both games. He played two periods against the Blackhawks in the exhibition game and was solid and, you know, had no chance really on either goal the other night. So, yeah, he's been great, and that's not why the Blues have lost both games. He's been superb and sort of picking up where he left off. He wasn't quite as sharp, Dan, in the regular season when he was lights out. But really, in the last month of this season, he did really well. And, you know, hopefully that will continue here on.
John, what's it been like for you and Darren and the gang to be to call these games off a monitor? I'm not sure if you've ever had to do that before in your career, but what's it been like for you to do those games off a monitor and to try to do the games for your audience? I've watched them. I thought they're great. Didn't know a difference, but what's it been like for you?
Well, it's, you know, the first game is a little more challenging, Dan. I had never done it. My brother Dan actually had done a few and has done a few for Big Ten Network. So I was glad to get that exhibition game under our belt, but our crew has done a great job. The producer and director that are producing the World Feed, rather, and directing it, they've done a great job. So, you know, Dan, as you know, we're at the mercy of the director. So if the director is tight on the main feed, or they do too many tight shots and things like that, you know, I can only call what I can see. But overall, they've done a fantastic job. And, you know, I'm really blessed to have, you know, not only a great producer and director, but also a great partner in Darren Pang. So I think the way Darren and I call a game, Dan, is we're pretty well, we talk a lot, maybe more than some teams. And I think that the way we're doing the games now lends itself to our style, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
So I don't think it's that big an adjustment for us, because we do interact quite a bit. So, but, you know, there could be some hiccups and things like that. But I think overall we've been pleased with the job we've done. But, you know, I guess you can always strive to do better, and that's what we'll do starting tonight.
When you watch the games overall, I know you're a hockey nut, and I mean that affectionately. What are you seeing? Any kind of trends in these games with the style of play, whether it's the Blues or not? But what are you seeing? Anything that is starting to separate itself from other teams in the style of play of these games?
Well, you know, as I said a bit earlier, the penalties, Dan. I think that you know, the referees didn't have exhibition games either, so. You know, my thoughts are normally early in a regular season, there are a lot more penalties called than late. So I think they'll adjust. So I would say, number one, you have to keep your stick down and don't go to the box. But the fast teams are doing well, and that's not a surprise. I mean, a team like the Hurricanes, you know, they're on to the first round now after sweeping the Rangers, and they're just a really, really tough out right now. So I think like most situations, Dan, in hockey, speed is so important, probably more so than ever. So the fast teams seem to have an upper hand right now. But, you know, who knows? You know, going into this, we didn't know we're uncharted territory. And will a team with experience do well, or a young team, or who knows? We'll just have to find out. It's still very early in the process. But, you know, those are the two things I noticed. The penalties are up, and the teams of speed are doing really well.
How about your in doing a broadcast, John? I know normally you get really good access with Berube and the coaching staff and the players. What kind of access are you getting, if at all, maybe outside of just the normal Zooms that the other media is getting?
Yeah, Dan, the Blues have been fantastic. Mike Caruso, who heads up the PR department for the Blues, on a day game, for instance, earlier today, we had a Zoom chat, just the broadcaster, with Craig Berube, and he's been outstanding. He gave us about a half an hour the other day for our exhibition game. And we also had a chance to talk to Braden Chen. So, you know, on a normal day, we get Berube, and then we get another player. So, you know, ideally, you want to talk to more than one player, and you want to talk to as many players from your team and the other team as possible. But You know, understanding the circumstances, we're thrilled to get what we get, and we appreciate their time.
And a couple more, and I'll let you go. What are the players doing to kind of stay busy when they're not practicing or working out, and they have to stay basically in the bubble? What are you hearing that they're doing to try to stay busy?
Well, right now it's a really tight bubble, Dan, and you know, we've been told that in a couple of weeks the bubble will loosen a bit in terms of the players perhaps could go play golf or maybe go fish or things like that. But right now they can't really leave the bubble except to go to practice or the games. Mm. And, you know, they have pool tables and ping pong and movies and things like that. But right now they're being very, very restrictive in what the players can do for good reason. So, I think the other key, Dan, when you ask me about what it's going to take to be successful, I think the team that's mentally strongest and doesn't get, you know, fed up with being in that bubble, because it's going to be about a 60-day period if you go to the final. So the team that stays together as a group and is mentally strong, I think will have a lot more success than other teams.
Yeah, there is no doubt about that. And I'll wrap it up with this. The Blues' chances to win the Cup. What do you think, John? How good are the chances of the Blues compared to some of the other teams?
Well, I think, Dan, that, you know, number one, there are some obviously superb teams out there. And in the West, to me, the two best teams aside from the Blues are Vegas and Colorado. Two excellent teams. So, you know, number one, to get to the final, you got to beat those teams. At least you would think you would. And I think the biggest thing for the Blues, Dan, as we talked earlier, is they got to get to their game like they did last year and be consistent. I mean, you're not going to play a perfect game every night. That's impossible. But they've got to find that level, and they've got to get to it as often as possible.
It's always great to hear your voice on the games, John, and welcome back to Calling the Games. Thanks for your time, and we'll have you tuned in tonight. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks for having me, Dan. Good to talk to you.
That's John Kelly. I'll be back with more in a moment.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.